This podcast is meant for mature audiences only and contains strong sexual language. All right, everybody, welcome to the Black and Kinky Lifestyle Podcast. This is the Bell and the Bomber speaking.
Hey.
Coronavirus, COVID-19, Rona, whatever the fuck, this shit is serious. Like, I think I was joking about it on the last episode.
This shit is so serious.
Oh my gosh. But, you know, we've been stuck in the house for several weeks. We hope everybody's staying safe out there. You know, practice this social distancing shit. Yo, shout out to all the lifestyle businesses, clubs, house party promoters, all the people out there that have just been, you know, really crippled by this shit. Mm-hmm. You know, our hearts go out there with you. We're really going to look forward to doing a lot of these lifestyle parties once this shit is over. So stay
modified.
Strong. I don't know. I might just jump into a pit full of orgy. I don't even know what that looks like, but like, this shit has been ridiculous.
I mean, once outside opens again, I'm not going to be the first one out there.
I don't give. I might just fuck anything, to tell you the truth.
Well, your ass gonna be locked out the house then for 2 weeks.
All right. Hopefully we'll get our rapid tests by then. You can test me before I get in the house. All right. So, again, this is the Black and Kinky Lifestyle Podcast, where we talk about the lifestyle from our perspective, from the perspective of a black couple that's been in a lifestyle for a few years now. And today, we're going to have a, special episode, Just talking about women and sexuality among black women in particular, I guess women in general. But the reason why this topic came up is because, you know, the last couple of episodes or the last three episodes we had was from our men's panel. Shout out to everybody who submitted questions for that episode. It was really helpful. But one of the things that had come up in that episode was just about, you know, the sexuality of women. A lot of guys were just like, you know, I want to get my lady into the lifestyle and she's not feeling it. And then it really became a discussion about, how do men fuel the comfort of women to be open about their sexualities, right? And so we decided to have an episode on that, but, you know, again, I was like, you know, who can we call to really speak on this? And I was like, wait a minute, we know the pussy party president. We could call her for consultation. Yeah. And so we ended up getting in contact with Jessie Camille, and she is the Pussy Party President, and she's on our show today. Say what's up, Camille. I'm sorry, Madam President, excuse me.
Hello.
All right. So Jessie Camille is most known for being the creator and host of the Pussy Party Podcast, where she helps women who feel like their sexuality is confined, misunderstood, or misrepresented to feel empowered to unapologetically express their sexual needs and wants. She travels around the country exposing the world to various aspects of sexuality, all to help change the attitude around taboo sexual topics, crowning her the Pussy Party President, a sex culture revolutionary. Jessie is also a spiritual wild woman, herbalist, tarot reader, and author. She is the owner and operator of Manifest Tea, where they create decadent, holistic, intentionally blended herbal teas and baths to be integrated into your manifestation routine.
Oh.
Jessie then went on to be number one new release on Amazon after she published a book called 30 Ways to Start Manifesting, a journaling guide for manifestation. Last but surely not least, Jessie Camille is the creator of Panty Dropper, a CBD-infused stimulation serum. Panty Dropper Stimulation Serum is an all-vegan product designed to give extra sensitivity for women and men on their erogenous zones. Through Panty Dropper, Jessie also offers her tantra services as a sensual healer. Her tantric practice is developed to increase intimacy and create a mind-body connection that can lead to powerful orgasms. With all those entities together, she works heal through sex and sexuality and to bridge the gap between spirituality, sensuality, and sexuality. You can connect with her best through Instagram at the Pussy with a W Party Podcast, or also email her at info@thepussypartypodcast.com.
So I want to just make sure our listeners heard that. So the creator of Panty Dropper, okay, that's the name of the serum, Panty Dropper. I almost wish I could rename this episode Panty Dropper, because that's really what this is all about. Like, not necessarily making women drop their panties, but like if a woman wants to, because in that vein, it's all about guys doing something to make women drop their panties. But I'm like, we want women to have the freedom to have the choice to drop their panties if they so choose. We want them to feel comfortable doing that. Yeah. Jessie, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. What made you start that podcast, and what's the podcast about?
The podcast is about pussy, but really, if you think about, like if the Democratic Party had a podcast or the Republican Party, the Pussy Party now has, you know, this place that, we can talk about the things that represent us, the issues that we care about, things that we want to learn, so that's really the synopsis of the Pussy Party podcast. How it came about was I was actually doing a podcast with another a friend that I'm no longer friends with. And we never really moved forward on the podcast that we were doing. At the same time, we were hanging out, and I think I had like a night of really great sex. And we all came back together, and I mean, I don't know how y'all do, but me and my people, usually we do kind of like get back together, like after the when you have a football game and you watch footage afterwards, it's like, not that we watch footage, but we're like, man, this is what happened last night. And he hit me upside down and I nutted, and, you know, we get together and we talk about how great of sex we had, you know, the last night. And I remember that I had great sex, but like my other friend didn't have good sex. My gay friends didn't have good sex. Like everyone else didn't have good sex. And I felt some kind of way because I wanted that like camaraderie. You know what I'm saying? Like, yay, we all get orgasms and life is great. And it wasn't. And I was a little lifted. And this was at the time when Snapchat was really big. And so I was like, I am over this shit. Like, this is some bullshit. Record me. And so I had her record me on Snapchat. And on Snapchat, I just, like, if you ever go to listen to my first episode, that's pretty much what the Snapchat video was. It was like, my name is, you know, Jessie, and I am the Pussy Party president, and we're going to have a State of the Union address to talk about the Pussy Party mission statement, because it is our right, you know, as pussies to have pleasure, and we need to talk about it and have ownership over it. And so I did this like 3 to 5 minute video about the Pussy Party mission statement and what the pussy wanted and what the pussy needed and all these things. And, you know, from there, you know, life kind of went on, and I got put in a situation where I was hanging out with some friends, and I asked the group, hey, what would you do if you woke up in the morning with a pussy, to the guys? And what would you do if you woke up with a penis, to the girl? And the conversation was just so like, took things to another level. You know, the men were like, oh, we would hide it and we wouldn't give it to anybody. And the women was like, we would take all of your girls, you know. But I told one of the guys, I'm like, well, if you would hide it, then why do you not understand what women want to wait to have sex? Or why don't you treat women?
Oh, man. Oh, gosh. Snapping, you know, fingers right now.
And so that conversation, it was just like, this is the podcast. Like, I can do this. And, It just manifested, you know what I'm saying? It just came to be. And I mean, it's really been since day one a thing that people have really taken to, and it's just like grown into a life of its own.
Can I just say, because nobody has had the heart to ask me what I would do to a puss, what I would do with a pussy if I had one, and I'm feeling some kind of way about that, because I have some thoughts.
Okay.
Because the one thing that comes to mind is the last thing I'd want to do is get fucked by a guy. Like, I wouldn't want that to happen. Like, it doesn't sound like something I've ever been. I'm just being real honest. Like, if I had a vagina, I mean, I wouldn't want to hide it. I just want to play with it all day. I'd want to see what the female orgasm feels like. I'd want to do that. But we have so many,
you'd only be having, you know, a few. I mean, I guess you could give yourself a cervical orgasm with a dildo and all those things. But I mean, for me as a pussy, like, yes, I love dick. Like, I love dick. I do. But I realize I love the man behind the dick more than the actual part. Because there's something about, like, the body being pressed on me. I even like when men sweat on me. I like manly things, you know, that I couldn't get with the dick by itself. And I have to give the male counterpart credit for that. That's something that I love. It's more of them as a, you know, creature, as a being, more than just sticking their thing in me and giving me a cervical orgasm, which I do love.
All right. So, you know, I was you know, checking out your webpage and just looking a little bit about looking at sort of how you defined your own sexual journey. And I got the feeling that your sexual journey started really early. And, you know, I feel like you might be outside of the norm of a lot of women who aren't quite as comfortable with that. And so just tell me, is that an accurate assessment? And why do you think other women are not quite there?
So, I mean, I lost my virginity when I was 14, which I don't think is too out of the norm. But I know that that is ahead of, you know, some women. Most women, the average is about 16 or 17 that they lose their virginity. I did a whole episode on it, and I did research. The only reason why I know. But I think that the reason why my sexuality, I'm so comfortable and was so comfortable at a young age is because my parents. You know, I was raised by a dad who never told me to go back in the house and change from those short shorts. Or, you know, when I started the Pussy Party podcast, he was the first person that I told, you know. So I have a great relationship with male energy. And so I'm just comfortable being, you know, and a part of me being is that I'm also a sexual being, you know, but also my parents, now that I'm older and I know, my parents were in the lifestyle. My parents were, you know, I have a very open family. The men hug each other and kiss each other and, you know, very like affectionate family. So I know that my sexuality in general has never really been oppressed. It never has really been a thing that I had to question in immediate family or what have you. So, and I know that that's rare. Like, a lot of girls can't call their dad and be like, I talked to this guy and he this and he that, and what do you think? And he'd be, you know, and even talk about we had sex and whatever, and, you know, it'd be okay. So I think that that's probably the biggest reason why I've been so comfortable with my sexuality growing up, you know what I'm saying?
Right. It all starts in a household. All starts with the parents a lot. And
especially the dad, you know, for girls, you know, because that's like our first interaction with the male, you know, energy, the first, you know, our first man we love and things like that. And so definitely I agree.
So before we jump into like the topic, which we just sort of touched on, can you tell our people, like, how do you kind of identify? Like, are you like poly, like single, unicorn, in a relationship? You know, what's going on there?
So I definitely am poly. I'm technically single. Yeah, I'm single. and I mean, I would say that I'm bisexual, but I've never had experiences with, you know, someone who was trans or someone who was, you know, that, you know, was not just standard male or female. So, I mean, I could be a pansexual. I'm not sure. Like, I'm pending bisexual, I guess you could say that.
Yeah, like, you know, when Jesse said, yeah, I'm single, I think some guy's going to have his heart broken when he hears that. I have a feeling.
The thing is, because I love a little differently. You know, I do have a lover right now, but my love, like, oh gosh, I don't even want to get into it. I kind of have a little bit of stipulations around my love life right now, to where I'm only having lovers for 90 days at a time this year. Just because of my goals and spiritually, you know, what I need for myself, because I can get very wrapped up and consumed into loving a partner. So, yeah, I have lovers, but the relationship, you would think that it would be one that would, like, the interaction that would be more serious than, like, we're just dating, or, you know, that it would have some sort of title just because of how we treat each other.
Right. Right. I mean, what happens when you get at day 89 and you're like, damn, I wish I had another 90 days. You just cut yourself off, or like,
well, I mean, they can still be in my life. They just can't be in my bed.
Oh, wow. Well, they can't be, but I'm like, what about you? What if you want that though? Like, do you exercise? Yeah.
Honestly. So what is this? Where are we at? We're in April.
Yeah.
So right, because it just started this year. I would say the standard man will not make it to 90 days. Okay. They'll fall off, or something will happen, or whatever. Right. I had one guy who did make it, because I started loving him January 1st, right, New Year's Day, and he hit me up like, "Hey, you know, I want to see you." I'm like, "See me what?" He's like, he said some bullshit besides fuck, because we know that's what he wanted to do, right? Because it was a strictly physical relationship with this guy. And he's like, I want to hold you and talk with you. And I'm like, when did we start talking? And he said, oh, we're past the 90 days, huh? And I said, yeah. And I said, but we can still hang out. You know, you just can't, like I said, you just can't hang out in my bed, right? And he didn't respond, you know? So it's just kind of like, to me, challenging your motives in the relationship, and also being able to, when somebody tells you who they are, you know, really and where they are in life, believe them. And I mean, for me, I haven't had a situation yet where I've wanted to defy my own, you know, instructions and go past 90 days. Now, I did meet one guy who when I met him, I was like so in love. I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's so amazing. And so I was willing to wait 90 days to have sex with him, to hang out with him for 180 days, which I think is kind of a part of the point. So, you know, it's not that you can't be in my life, but when I consider a lover, like, you know, we're having sex. We're loving on each other. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not going to say I have it all figured out or that it makes sense, but I can say that I have gotten a great response from men when I say that I'm only taking lovers for 90 days, versus a thing that us women have said forever is that I'm waiting 90 days to have sex. Mm-hmm. And I think that it kind of gives this metric to make men like rise to the occasion, to where it's almost like they try to overperform to like be the exception to the rule or what have you. But I'll let y'all know how it goes. So far, so good. It's been really serving me very well.
No, and I think it is very much in alignment with the topic we wanted to talk about today, because that's a really interesting way of flipping it. Because I heard about the 90-day rule, and I'm just like, I don't know where that's gonna go, but this is an interesting take on it. So we might come back to that later on. Before we jump into the topic, I just wanted to acknowledge some new Patreons we have on board.
Yes. So we got Ricky and Mr. B. Thank you for being patrons. We launched our Patreon, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So they've been a part of our community. If you want to join Patreon, you can find us Black and Kinky on Patreon. We have exclusive clips on there. We have a community that, like, an online community where you can chat with us, see some pictures, and all kinds of fun stuff. So visit us at patreon.com.
Yeah, you could actually find the Patreon link if you go to our website at blackandkinkylifestyle.com and just sign up for the Patreon. I think, you know, I think the number one couple of things to realize about Patreon, we're doing it because this podcast life is not free. And, you know, we don't make any real money off of this. And oftentimes we need more equipment, and the need for more equipment comes faster than any slither of revenues we get from this thing. So, you know, the money is really going towards that. We're not being greedy. We're just sort of, we want to make this show good, and we want to give you guys an opportunity to contribute to that. And what we do give you in return is just more access. I mean, the thing is, you could always send us an email. You could always send us an Instagram DM or a DM on Twitter. But the fact is, we never quite get to those with the same level of frequency and vigor. If you're a member of our Patreon, I mean, we do have a chat community on Band, and we are on there every day just talking to our tribe. So if you want to be part of that group, we do encourage you to sign on to Patreon and support. All right. So let's jump in to our episode today. So you know this is the Black and Kinky Lifestyle, and it is not the Black and Kinky Lifestyle podcast until we've done our hit list.
Yes.
And our hit list is going to be a little special to lay a little bit more open. And it's all about a question of, you know, if you were locked in the house with a celebrity or with anybody other than your partner, let's try to keep this fun, for the duration of the year, or maybe the duration of a few months, who knows how long this shit's going to last, they would be there to fulfill your sexual needs, but they're going to be there for a lot longer than that. Who would it be and why?
See, this is difficult because, like, we know celebrities, but, like, we don't really know how they fuck. So I would like some information about their sexual prowess before I select.
So for me, I'm going to go with, like, kind of what my type is, like my physical type. Mm-hmm. I would pick Marshawn Lynch.
Okay.
Why? You know, he seems authentic. And like, that's the body type. I like that linebacker. I being quarantined, so you done gained a little weight, so you got a little bit probably around your waist. I like all that. You know, I like the teddy bear type. You know, he got the locks. We can tie our locks together, and I'm sure that he's, you know, down to let me, you know, do all kind of like tantra and spiritual stuff to him, and he could probably like carry me, run me around the house all year. So that is what I would pick. Wow. Marshawn Lynch. And he seems like he got like resources, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're gonna be good. He gonna be like, yeah, have your mama come, everybody come to the house, and I'm good just in the room. Mm-hmm. His little sex slave, and he my sex slave.
Right. Mr. Lynch quarantined with Mr. Lynch. All right.
So if we're going like on the looks and the aesthetic, and this is going to be pretty, I mean, definitely got to have a type, but I go for Damson Idris. So he plays Franklin on Snowfall.
Oh, yeah. He just needs one of me in his life on that show. Ooh.
Yes, but he has the look, like, and I follow him on Instagram, and he is, you know, he's just very chic. He looks like you, Bomber, like y'all favor a lot. but then he has the British accent, and yeah, it would just be like, I feel like this very posh, like.
He's British?
Yeah, he's British.
I'm going over there when the quarantine over. Because, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I didn't even know that.
Okay. I'm going to go with, I changed this at the very last minute. I think her name is Cynthia Erivo. Is it Erivo? Is that how you pronounce it?
Erivo.
Okay, so she played, I think she played Harriet Tubman in the new movie, right? She played Harriet Tubman. She was also one of the key stars in this movie, not this movie, but this series on HBO called The Outsider, based on a Stephen King book. She's just this, like this, you know, British, dark-skinned, beautiful black woman, thick lips.
And, yeah, I'm not a type.
Yes.
Now, she doesn't look like me.
No.
But.
No, she doesn't. She has your spirit. She has your spirit.
Yeah.
But she seems really quirky to me. Like, she, like, has this dyed blonde crew-cut hair. And she's nothing like any of the characters she portrays in her films. And I just love that UK accent. And I would never get tired of it. And I'd like to hear it all day long. Yes, yes. Especially coming out of the mouth of a black woman. There's nothing like that British accent coming out of it. Because you don't just get the accent, but you get that black spiritual twang to it.
Like,
you know what I mean?
The pussy even feel different because they tongue move different.
Yes. before we get serious, because I usually have some random ass questions for my guests, or we have our random ass. It's actually my random ass questions.
Yeah,
the bell never does this. It's just me because I'm fucking weird. But I don't know, man. This quarantine. How have you been like coping with this shit?
I've been living my best fucking quarantine life. I'm not even gonna lie to you. emphasis on the fucking. But I mean, my life hasn't really changed too much. Like, really, it's actually gotten a little busier because, like, you know, y'all said all the stuff in my bio. I do a lot of stuff in the spiritual side of the world. And right now, with all this shit going on, they want answers. They want to know what's going on. So I've been really busy with doing, like, readings and giving people herbs and natural things, you know, to help them. And also I started teaching other people, mainly women, to do what I do and to learn, you know, the different lifestyle stuff that I do. And so that's really what I've been doing. And then, you know, I've had quarantine bae and all those things. Or
oh, nice.
Phase, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, I've been great.
Well, that is good.
Really
that,
good.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been doing better than most.
Yeah.
We've been finding ways to get creative.
We're
surviving.
You know, so I haven't broken any rules, but I ain't necessarily just totally like abiding by, like, you know, if somebody wanted to come over, I may ask a few questions and make a decision, but I haven't been like, no one can see me. So, like, I have a little studio audience right now.
Yeah. So, like, I think what's happening is a lot of people are watching a lot of porn.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering if folks are just getting really creative with the kind of porn they're looking at. So this is the first question I wanted to throw at you. So I don't know why I've been really into interracial porn lately. Maybe it's because I don't see white people as often as I do. So black has been a go-to for me for some reason. What about you, Belle? Have you been watching?
Haven't been watching porn, but I don't watch porn like as a regular like activity.
Yeah, no, you're not like me. I have to take porn breaks while I'm doing stuff that's actually productive.
Like if somebody throws up a clip in the chat, like I'll watch it, but I won't go like, let me go watch some porn now.
I actually like get really excited when I see people put porn up in our chats now. Like I watch the whole thing.
Oh, yeah,
like, sometimes I'll just watch a clip, but I'll watch the whole thing. I'm like, let me see where this is going. I got nothing better to do to see see whether this dude is gonna bust a nut over these cheeks. I have no idea. But yeah, so what have you been watching?
I've been watching, I like Ebony, POV, Fat Pussy, Cream Pie.
Cream Pie!
Yeah, that I like. I just like to see like the actual, like, I don't care about the whole scene and the girl and like their face and stuff. I like to just actually see like the actual, you know, penis going in the pussy and like the creamy process start. And I like when like the girls have real fat pussy lips to where it almost looks like there's, it's like a mouth sucking the dick is how fat the lips are. I like that. And I've been really diving into like my kinks, and I've been doing, you know, a lot of like healing work too. So I've been talking a lot about childhood and like the good experiences, the bad experiences, and like how they connect to like your kinks and stuff like that. And I, you know, I talk about my family, and I said that, you know, the dad and all that stuff. And like for me, one of my kinks is like, you know, daddy's little girl. That's like kind of one of my favorite ones or whatever. And so with my lover that I'm, you know, having a great time with right now, we've been looking at the porn associated with our kinks. Oh. So, you know, they have all those like stepdad and daughter and all that shit. Like, I kind of been looking at that, and I know it's weird, but hey. So yeah, I've been watching that. I even watch, I Google Black Love, and I find a lot of couples that are like, you know, have their, you know, careers on Pornhub, and I like to see that. What else? I like car sex because I like to have car sex. Car, like doing it in the car. I like, I even like to see two like masculine, like black men, like make love to each other, or like a black man, like that's all like looks like he would be like a standard cis heterosexual male, like suck another man's dick. I like that kind of shit. So yeah, I mean, I haven't really been going too hard, but when I do search, it's been, well, mainly that POV. That's like my, like, okay, let me get, you know, rub this out in 10 minutes and keep going. But I had to like change how I masturbate though.
How so?
Well, cause I'm not an avid squirter, but sometimes it's like, it cuts on and it cuts off for like however many months or whatever. And right now it's on, right? And because I'm at home and I'm kicking it in the bed more often, like I can't be squirting in my bed. Like,
so you have squirting seasons is basically what you're saying.
I have squirting seasons. Yeah. And I think it's definitely mental and probably has something to do with like my health, how hydrated I am or something. I don't know. But I started, and this is so funny, but it's so true. I started masturbating halfway in my bedroom door, because I moved from my bed to the floor in front. I have a mirror right there on the ground, but then I was just squirting on my carpet, like even with the towel, it was just too much, you know. And I had to get carpet freshener and like all that stuff because it was just too much. So I have hardwood in my living room, and so and no one's here, you know, right. Usually when I'm masturbating, usually. So I just put my like top half in the bedroom where the carpet is on the ground, and my bottom half where the hardwood is. And my clit suction satisfier is like one of my favorite toys. And so I'll just cut on my POV and do that and squirt. And I'll squirt on the hardwood floor, and I could just like mop. And
so you have a squirting section in your house for your squirting season.
Now I do, yeah, because I mean, in normal life, I probably wouldn't be masturbating as much as I do to where it'd be that big of a deal. But now I don't have time to be cleaning that shit up, and I don't want that, you know, in my carpet or on my mattress or, you know, the sheets. Like, don't nobody got time for that. So I just, yeah, I just mean, in the threshold of my bedroom door right there.
So speaking of cleanup, like Belle, like, I don't know. There's been some times where I've seen the edge of the bed get a little creamy, and sometimes I just thought maybe you spilled some lotion on it or something. Is that like... Is that like your vibrator section of the bed?
Yes,
sometimes?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I always masturbate on my side of the bed.
Okay. You've never marked your territory on my side.
No. I mean, I don't know. It's like, I like my side of the bed. It's comfortable. My vibrator's there. It's already plugged up. I just grab it.
Have you ever like had a moment where, because I've had this happen before, full disclosure, like, you know, I might be watching porn or something, you know, having my little solo session, and I'm thinking it's going to be like a quick cleanup job. And then like right before it happens, I'm like, oh shit, I should have been more prepared. and then it just gets everywhere. Like, have you ever surprised yourself? Like, oh, after it's done, it's like, what have I done?
Yeah,
absolutely. And it wasn't until one time I recorded myself, because I was sending it to a lover, and I didn't realize, like, it's way more fluid than I thought, than what it feels like in my head. So, I need to have a action plan beforehand.
I'm wondering, actually, how many people have permanently fucked up their phones because they either came too much on it or squirted on it? Like, what's the story to Apple when you're trying to get your shit replaced?
I ruined the whole computer because I squirted on it. Sure did.
Yeah, we could always tell.
Well, that's how I fucked up my last phone. Like,
Are you serious?
Yeah, because I remember I recorded that shower video.
Oh.
I dropped it in the shower.
That's not the phone that's upstairs with the battery.
No,
that
not
exploded.
That one. Not
okay, because that would have been
the one
hilarious.
Before that one.
That would have been a hilarious story. Like the phone exploded because there was too much sexiness on it. It would have been an interesting story, but that wasn't that phone. All right. Okay. So let's jump into actually this next question. So the next question I wanted to just talk about between three of us, like, what are you most looking forward to once social distancing is over? And I'll jump in first. I really want to go to a meet and greet. I want to go to a lifestyle meet and greet. I don't care who's there. I don't care if nobody there is sexy. I don't fucking care. Like, I want to be in an environment where I could just flirt with somebody and then walk away, get a kiss on the cheek or something, hug, pound. I don't give a fuck. I want to reach out and touch some ass. That's all.
Reach out and touch some ass. Well, for me, I mean, I want to get on a fucking plane, but I guess that would be a little bit of a plan thing. But like I was telling you guys, you know, I've been doing what I call goddess manifestationalist training. So I've been training some women, and actually a man, to you know, live a little bit more intentional lifestyle and merge their sensuality and their sexuality and their spirituality and all that stuff. So I've been doing a lot of like healing work and a lot of self-love and a lot of things. And so I can't wait to continue to like teach a class, but then us be able to go out to, you know, a happy hour or something like that, and them get to experience how other people react to them based off of like their actual intentions, based off of the work that they've done to, you know, grow into their confidence and their intuition and all those things. So I'm ready for like us to go on like a field trip to like wherever and see, you know, what happens. I think that it's going to be an amazing night.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I think travel. Like, I just wanna, cause we have some trips planned, and so I would like to go somewhere.
Let me just say, the bell was pissed off when I had to cancel this trip. We had something planned. We were supposed to go somewhere. And it was still like in that point where we were like, maybe this is still possible. And yeah, it was like, no, it was to Florida too, which was like the slowest state to react to this shit.
Like, we probably still.
But people are still traveling.
Yeah.
Like, I just found out a former lover of mine is in town, and I'm like, how did you get here? Like,
like, even if you go somewhere, most places, everything is closed. Mm-hmm. So, like, you're just there.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's no, like, yeah, because you can't go to the
people there. You go and you hang out with the people that, you know, in the city. So I guess that's what he's doing. And I'm trying to decide if I'm going to, you know, I guess this would be an outlier to the 90-day rule. Because, you know, it's a former lover. So.
Wait a minute. Is there some kind of grace period? There's some nuances here to your 90-day rule that we might not have talked about here.
Well, see, the 90 day rule just started this year.
Oh, so okay.
He is prior to the rule system.
So he has a grandfathered plan to the pussy.
He is grandfathered. But I mean, my thing is, actually, I did engage with him this year. I engaged with him around my birthday. So January, at the end of January. So February, March. I guess he's got a few weeks technically for his 90 days. So,
all right, you want to pause this interview right now so you can make a phone call, or are we still good?
Oh no, he gonna call.
All right. So last random ass question, which is probably not as random, but this thing is going to change things. Like this, you know, it's only been a few weeks, but this is going to change things. And I'm wondering, how do you think it'll change? Like, I mean, this is to all of us, but you know, how might this change intimate relationships, sex and dating? And the thing I'm wondering and thinking about is, like, one, I'm wondering if online dating is going to become something people are more comfortable with. Long distance dating is something people are more comfortable with than they were before, because there were all these different ways of being intimate. Or are people just going to be like, oh shit, you know what, let me appreciate the time I have to be intimate with someone physically, because I might lose this at some point? What do you think might go down?
I think that old things are going to come back new. I think that like the organic in-person stuff will be appreciated more. I think that like the way that we go about meeting people and interacting, I think that because we couldn't, you know, now we're going to want to do it more. I mean, I think online dating will always kind of like have its place. But I mean, for me, I can't wait. Like how you said, to go to a meetup and flirt with somebody and, you know, get smacked on the ass, you know, whatever it is. Like, you know, that's something that I look forward to. I mean, that's kind of my take on it. Mm-hmm. I even think that like things are going to change as far as like families and stuff. I think that like big families are going to come back. I think like a lot of old things of how we used to do stuff is going to come back, because we've been told we can't.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I'm not sure. I know like hookup culture with like younger millennials was a big thing prior to this. And so I wonder if that will, I wonder a few things. If that will continue because people will be craving intimacy, like some kind, well, not intimacy, but some kind of physical engagement. But then the other thing is, I think a lot of people are realizing with that hookup culture, how many relationships they don't actually have. Like they don't have real connections with people.
Yep.
And so they will move away from that to really start fostering like real connections, real intimacy that's not necessarily physical with people, because this has shined a light on how kind of empty their relationships and connections were.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's a great point, Belle. Thanks for that. Cause what that actually had me thinking about, like we're in a bunch of different chats. You know, we're in, you know, some chats that were with, you know, some of our lifestyle friends. And then there are some chats I have with some of my vanilla friends. And like, I treasure those so much. Like, not like, you know, there's a bunch of, like, we probably have like 100 different couple chats that we haven't engaged at all since this shit started. Cause it was all about fucking, like, honestly.
Yeah.
But like, the friendships we built, like, those are what I gravitate to. Like, even if somebody just posts a fucking pussy pic, like, if I know that pussy, like, I know the personality behind
I know that
shit,
pussy.
You know? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I've seen that pussy cry. Like, I know it. So it's like, it's...
You mean like squirt? That's what I call when the pussy squirts, is the pussy's crying.
It's an emotional pussy. Pussies, okay?
An emotional release. That's what I call it.
So that's a good point, because with the hookup culture, like I'm not thinking, like, you're not thinking about the people that you're fucking unless you have the opportunity to fuck them, right? But those intimate relationships really do matter. Well, thanks. That was great. So thanks for indulging my random ass questions. Now we're going to get into the topic of the hour. So like I said, the reason why we decided to do this episode is because we get a lot of guys sending us messages about, like, you know, they hear about our lifestyle, they hear the bell talking, you know, they hear this woman and about other women who are really open, who are in the lifestyle, who are fucking, like, who are just like willing to go in an orgy, willing to, you know, go to a club and just willing to, you know, do the nude thing and just have other partners, even though the bell is very picky. It doesn't happen like that all the time. No. But the question that a lot of guys have is like, how, like, my woman doesn't seem to be as sexually open as the Belle, or my woman isn't like as sexually open to go to a lifestyle party, or she's not really going to be with that swinging shit because Black women just ain't with that shit. And so,
lies.
So yeah, I mean, we understand that that is not true. Just by empirical data, we know that it's not true. There's a whole lot of Black women who are freaks.
Right, freakier than Black men.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. To a frightening and horrific degree that guys can't even fathom. But the question is, what is it? First of all, are women hesitating to be sexually open with their Black men? Or with their men in general, and if so, why is that? Beyond the obvious, I guess.
Yes. I mean, judgment, of course, is the obvious, but I think it's because the men that we're engaging with are not really making us happy. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to give you more than what you can handle. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to open up to you. We're not going to any of that because that's extra. You know what I'm saying? If on a stand, like for my lover that I have right now, he from day one, you know, let it be known that he understood, loved, and respected what I call divine feminine energy, right? And he understood that it had needs, he understood that it had wants, and he understood that it could not be possessed or contained. And he made it like known, you know. And so for someone like me, who is very sexually open and have had to deal with various levels of men accepting it or getting over it and being comfortable because they have this sort of like possession protectiveness over us. Mm-hmm. It was refreshing, you know what I'm saying? And I think that kind of admittance and openness, like it kind of set the bar to where, even when I've had other men in the past who said, oh, yeah, like you can, I wouldn't mind if you had another partner and all that stuff. Like, I feel like they're lying, like that when it really happens and they're going to flip their shit and I'm going to have to deal with all of the emotional and mental things of you thinking that I love them more than you or that I'm not satisfied with you or, you know, whatever. So I don't think that I would even be able to get to that point if the man didn't really, one, make me happy, like in the just between me and you, you know, mm-hmm. And then beyond that, like kind of set the foundation that I understand that all of my needs and wants and all that stuff are the same as yours, even though you have a vagina.
Right. I mean, I think you can read a guy's energy as to what, like you said, what he can handle. So, like, can I tell him about my real sexual history, or do I need to give him like the light version?
Right.
And knowing that, that can make women hesitate. And sometimes they're willing to take the trade-off because it's like, okay, he checks all the other boxes off of my chart, but right. I know that he can't handle me sexually, and that's okay. I'll deal with that, you know, I'll right. put that in the back burner right. and won't worry about that because I have this man who everything else, you know, I'm satisfied with. But I right. don't feel safe enough to expressed my sexuality with him.
Right, for sure. I think women are taught at a young age to compromise, and we're taught to be, what is it called? We're taught to be like mannerable, you know?
Submissive.
Not submissive, but just like, we're taught, like, if someone were to give us a plate of food when we were like 6 years old and we didn't like it, we're not gonna be like, oh my God, this is so nasty. We're gonna be like, oh, thank you. I appreciate that, and kind of like hold back our true reaction. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that like conditioning, you know, we're taught to kind of be like, okay, these are our needs and these are our wants, and I'm willing to kind of settle somewhere in the middle, versus I feel like, and this is just, you know, Pussy Party President talking from my pussy biasness. I think that boys are instilled with this kind of God complex.
Oh yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? From just a young age to be like, yuck, and oh, and I like that, and I don't want that, and I'm gonna go after this, and I'm gonna not do that because, yep, you know, I am. And so it's really hard, I think, to deprogram somebody who has that kind of like thought process to even like be able to put themselves in the other person's shoes, to like the guy saying, well, why can't I just get my girl to be, you know, sexually open or whatever? Well, you know, you didn't live a whole life of like, close your legs and put your skirt down and, you know, all these things. And deep down, she probably isn't happy somewhere. There's something that you're not doing to her. She probably feels like you even deserve to know that, or to have that experience with her. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I always say, like, for me, I live the goddess lifestyle, you know, and I believe in, you know, I like to be worshipped. And that, it doesn't mean submissive, and that doesn't mean, like, you know, feed me grapes while I lay in the bed, even though that would be great. But, you know, it's just about respect and, like, really treating somebody the way that you want to be treated, you know what I'm saying? And the men who are getting it, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, you two, you know, together, like, you worship the divine feminine and understand it and respect it and invest in it on a level that most of your counterparts probably don't, which is why you get privileges or live a certain lifestyle that most men don't.
So one thing that Belle said earlier was that, like, the idea of not feeling safe enough to reveal these other parts of me. And that stuck around, because it sounded like what you were saying earlier, Jesse, was that there's something that this guy is doing or not doing that's not sitting right with his partner. Mm-hmm. And I really want to dig into that, because I don't think as men, that's communicated as a possible thing that's going on that we need to fix in our relationship to make it sexually healthy.
Right.
So I wanted to talk a little bit more about what guys are or not doing in these situations when it comes to sexuality.
I hate to like not go down that rabbit hole, but it almost comes to a point in time where we can't look at the other person. Like, it is a self thing. Like, for me, if I've had a time where I've held something back from a partner, it's because I was scared they were going to leave. You know, I'm scared to be alone. I'm scared, you know, that the relationship is going to end. And that is probably the biggest thing, is like not really being okay with it, not with the relationship ending or with it not moving forward. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, what are the things that the men are not doing? It can be some subtle things. I think one of the easiest things is like the pretend protection.
Pretend protection?
Yeah. Like, I posted this sexy thing on Instagram and my partner has an issue with it. And their excuse is like, well, there's so many weirdos out there and people can look at you a certain way. And I'm just like, you know, I'm just protecting you, you know, versus just trusting that you'll be okay, you know, trusting that you're fine and not really worrying about the what if it all went bad, you know, or you're dressing that sexy outfit and you're going out with your girls and I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about the other guys who are not going to respect you and blah, 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 blah. And I mean, those like little idiosyncrasies, I think kind of add up to where we feel like you don't trust us, yourself, you know, the world or what have you. And, you know, it really does affect things long term.
So I think that when guys are doing that, so I have a few, like a few theories here, just to not be the devil's advocate, but just to speak for my fellas who are out there. So I think what some of them would say are a couple of things. One, like, if you are flaunting out there, right? If you, if you're like putting yourself out there sexually, like maybe it's on Instagram, right? The thing is, like, that's cool, but if somebody steps out of line, right? Like, let's say, let's take this off of social media and let's think about like us walking down the block at 9:30 or fucking 2 o'clock in the morning after the party. If what you're wearing is provoking somebody to be like an asshole, like I'm the one who's taking that first punch, right? So I'm sort of the one who's kind of who has to defend you, right? Now that we could argue that that's
bullshit. You don't have to.
So I'm gonna like, so that's one thing, right? The other thing is, this might be a little bit more selfish, but I think for a lot of guys, it's like, if you're putting yourself out there and I'm with you, that says something about me. And I am not prepared to have to defend that.
Right.
Yeah,
even though, like, I might be okay.
Sexually open.
Don't say that again?
Yeah, right. So then, thus also, you're not prepared for me to be sexually open and having orgies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're right. So, prime example, my lover. He had two friends come by who was going through the city to go out of town, right? And the guy and his girlfriend were here. They were just hanging out. And I don't know what happened, but he was like, oh, don't look at my girl or something. He was joking, but, you know, he really wasn't joking. And he was like, what? He's like, okay. He's like, I'm not looking at your girl. He's like, but you can look at my girl. You know, she's walking all through here. I want you to look at her and see how sexy she is, her fat ass walking around here and all that stuff. And for me, you know, that is like confidence. You know what I'm saying? That in who I am and that you know that I am sexy and I am enticing and that you are prepared to deal with whatever, because you know that that comes with, you know, that kind of level of, you know, sexy or freedom or whatever, you know. And to me, it's kind of like that scenario, I think, is great example of, like, you know, the common thing that men use to kind of justify. Yep. But most of the time, I mean, I think that if a man is confident and all that stuff, just kind of like ignoring that and not even addressing, you know, even if someone was disrespectful, just keep going on with your life. You know, it's a choice to defend something, unless he just straight up comes and snatches and tries to rape her in front of you, which is not realistic. It's more than getting into you talking to my girl like that and a possession and now we're talking about masculinity having this like battle with each other over image. And so then once again, it's not an issue with us. It's an issue between the men.
So let's say, you know, you're with your guy. Let's say I'm that guy. We're walking down the block. You know, you got your ass out and shit. Your fucking cleavage is out. And then, you know, no, nobody's going to come out and try to grab you or rape you. But some dude might say, oh, damn, look at them titties. Oh, I'd sure bust a nut on her ass right now. Now, I'm going to feel some type of way about that. You're going to feel some type of way about that. Now, if I'm like, you know what, babe, yo, like, we just going to keep going. Like, let's not worry about that right now. You know what I mean? These guys don't know how to handle themselves. We're going to keep walking. I'm not even going to say nothing to that. I don't know. Is that something that's going to get your pussy wet? Or, like, because...
If he's just saying something, like, I'm not gonna. First of all, I believe titties are for everybody. So,
everybody.
So, you know, if he's enjoying my titties from afar, then, you know, that's what they're there for, you know, for the enjoyment of all who can
who have eyes.
Right, who have eyes. So as long as he is not like approaching and being belligerent, like approaching physically and being belligerent, I really don't care. And knowing me at that point, I'd probably be drunk, so I'd probably say some smart shit back.
Right, like he about to nut on your titties, hey.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that would be fine, but it's when it goes beyond just like a cat call.
Right.
Like, I don't, yeah, because so, like, even with the whole, like, thing about, oh, women, you know, hating cat calls, I don't really understand that
either. Call video.
Because I'm just like, I guess it's...
I kind of like it a little bit, I ain't gonna lie.
What was that, Camille?
I kind of like it a little bit. Yeah. I mean, even when I was young, like when boys used to smack me on your booty and run in like middle school, and girls were like, oh my God, stop it. Like, I love that shit.
Shit, now you go to jail for that shit. They'll take middle schoolers to jail for that shit now.
I mean, I get it, but, and I think that's where, like, you know, us being primal humans and then like the law of the land kind of don't mix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But also, too, it's just like how we teach sexuality, how we look at it, you know, you want to go after what is unfamiliar, you know what I'm saying? And so if we taught body parts and sexuality and like how it's going to make you feel from a young age, most kids probably wouldn't even be worried about that shit. Like they think it was ill, some weird thing that our parents trying to teach us about, and they'd be like focused on school and like, you know, shit like that. But that's neither here nor there. Don't get me on my sexual education rant.
Excuse me. What I'm trying to do with this episode is really like just do that. Like when you say things like, all right, like when it comes to me worshiping or respecting the Belle's feminine spirit or respecting her pussy, like I'm telling you right now, that's not really what my objective was.
What was your objective?
It kind of just happened by accident. Like, I think I was, I had been a sexual health educator for a while. So in my career, I just sort of understood more about sex and what it was about. And, you know, just through my education and my interaction with women and the way I communicated with women, because I had a lot of girlfriends, platonic girlfriends, I kind of learned to respect a woman's sexuality outside of my own desires, which is something that a lot of guys aren't in the space of doing. And so I can't, like, I don't know how to communicate to a guy to get to where I am.
Right. Well, the biggest thing that you said was that it was outside of your desire, right? So the guy who's like, I want my woman to open up. Why? Because I want to have orgy, right? He's never like, man, I really want to understand what truly makes my woman come and what does she want? You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe her thing is orgies and it's only with women. Maybe it has nothing even to do with dick. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be these things that have nothing necessarily to do with you benefiting. What I think most men don't have is compersion, you know? So it's basically you receive pleasure when someone else is, you know, getting pleasure or is happy, and you don't have any indirect benefit from the situation. So, like, your partner goes on a date with someone and they have a great, you know, you have this euphoric feeling from meeting this new person, and you're happy for them, genuinely. And it had nothing to do with the fact that, you know, you're going to get any kind of benefit from that interaction or even experience it at all. So, yeah. So, like, when my lover said, oh, yeah, you can look at her and all that stuff, like, he knows that I like to be admired. He knows that I love to feel sexy and all those things. And he's happy when I feel like that. And that is a prime example of compersion.
Okay, so now that you said all that, I'm gonna ask the Belle, because I had made a bold assumption earlier that like I'm respecting your pussy and your feminine energy, but am I, like, honestly, like be honest, like am I do you feel like I'm respecting your energy, or do you think I'm just trying to bust my nuts?
Oh, I think it goes back and forth. I wouldn't say that we're always in one place or another all the time. It depends. Because, and I would say, you know, recently before all the corona shit and stuff like that, we were having a really hard time because, like, I was not really feeling lifestyle stuff. And you were like, I just want to do all this stuff. And I'm like, no, just like, that's just not where my headspace is. And I kept saying it. And you were like, no, I don't. I kept saying, like, you just want to fuck. And like, that's fine. But I just don't want to do that right now. Like, I'm just not interested. Okay. And you're like, it's not about that. I just want to hang out with people. And like, it's not that serious. But I was like, no, so, you just want to fuck.
So let me preface this. I got to add some context here. Because we were on a timeline. There was going to be a point where the lifestyle was going to be inaccessible to us for at least a year. And I was just like, let's just try to get it in now because it's going to be over in like a month. So like, let's just take some chances. And the bell was like still sort of on a path where I don't know. I felt like you were taking this for granted. Like, I'm like, no, we don't have time to be as picky as we were being. Like if you like the guy, like, let's just see where this goes. But yeah, so I agree with what the Bell is saying. There's a lot of times where we were not on the same page. So I say all that to say, I went on this tangent because I say all that to say that even though I think that within my peer group, I have more respect for the pussy than others. I'm still learning, is what I'm saying. Like, it's still like, you know.
Because there'll be times where you'll be like, okay, so what, like, what's your fantasy scenario? And like, you know, how can I help facilitate that? How can I help make that happen? And even though it may not have anything to do with you. But if you want to have this experience, you know, like, how can we see if we can make this experience happen? And so I think those are times where, yeah, and I know we've talked about, I don't know, something else, about you watching me with other guys. Like, that is compersion. Like, you're not involved, and we enjoy that experience. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, you know, something that comes and goes.
So, So Jesse, just to let you know, just to give you an example of what we're talking about here, just to bring it back to what you mentioned. So when the Bell and I are with other partners and we're watching, you know, watching each other, we don't want to be involved physically in that thing. I think that's what makes us different from a lot of couples. Like, if the Bell is fucking a guy, like, I'm not gonna like find her, like, trying to get in front of her face and try to get a blowjob while she's getting piped out by a dude. Like, I literally get more enjoyment watching her get piped out without the distraction of her giving me a blowjob.
Right.
And the same is true, like, vice versa. So, but yeah. So, but again, even in that example, it's something that I enjoy. I like you enjoying things, but I like seeing you enjoy things. So it's like, is it compersion or am I being selfish again?
Yeah, no, that is compersion. But also too, I think that when you truly like kind of follow the desire and like what turns you on and all that stuff, that like behind compersion is like some sort of satisfaction too, you know, like, you know, when we get to the kinks and what we like, you know, being a voyeur, you know what I'm saying? And having the opportunity to be a voyeur to someone that you love, you know, that's a whole nother level. You know what I'm saying? So it's about balance. It's not about being this totally higher conscious and selfless being who just has so much compersion. Like, it's about being authentic and saying like, I need to be selfish right now, and this is what I need, or I know how to be selfless. You know, it's about balance, and I think that that's what you guys have. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's really picky, and she's not feeling the lifestyle. It, you know, it could be something maybe between y'all, or either it's just for herself. Like, she's, you know, maybe not feeling her most confident, or she sees some shit with the people out there that she knows that they fake as fuck, so she doesn't want to fuck them. You know? You know, where for you, it may be a little different, and just being able to like have the even flow. Like, I think that's happiness versus like it being all guns a-blazing all the time and it just being cool. You know, it's not realistic.
Yeah, it also doesn't help that I am the apparently become an extrovert and the Belle has become introverted.
I was always an introvert.
No, you weren't, man.
Yes, I was. I don't know who you thought. Okay.
Okay. I wish I was recording more when we first started. That's all I'm going to say. All right. So let's move away from the guys for a moment and talk about what other women do or don't do that. And I'm trying to keep this on Black women in particular.
Because white women have a whole, honey, yeah. They are free on a different level.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They do stuff at a young age. They are way ahead of the game. They're allowed to be all kind of quote unquote hoes and this and that. And then they can grow up and be a nice young lady and wife and all that stuff. And nothing ever happened. We have the opposite. So
yeah, just look at the first lady.
Right.
All right. So yeah, I guess if Belle, I don't know if you can preface this and talk about like where this was coming from, but what is it that women do that just make it hard for other women, Black women, to be open?
I mean, I think just in the same way that men judge women on their sexual preferences, their desires, sexual history, women do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes can do it even more viciously, I think.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, and you know, you have your girl talk and I don't know if you've had this scenario, Jesse, but you know, you're talking with a couple with some girls and you're talking about, oh, you know, what happened last night, and they're like, oh, like you do that? Like,
right.
You know, yeah. Whatever, like blah blah blah, those kind of things. And so then you're like caught off guard, and so then you become more guarded about mm-hmm. who you share your real self with because of the fear of judgment, the fear of being ostracized, you know, them feeling like, oh, well, you know, if she lets her man run around doing all of this, then he must be free game, you know, for me to shoot my shot. Mm-hmm. And so I think all of those kinds of things happen, particularly in circles of Black women.
Definitely. So I look at it as like I take a lot of personal responsibility, you know, because I feel like there's this like we still have like this slave mentality to our sexuality. And I think that when we see other women that are free, there's a like deep down jealousy that's like, no. Stay shackled with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, so for me, I'm always the shocker. You know, for like, let's say one thing, eating ass. Okay. So I'm like, you know, I'm talking about my thing and then I ate his ass and they're like, what? Oh no, girl, that's nasty. And that's this and that's that. And then you have a choice to be like, oh, I know, but it was just, you know, you can kind of like try to backpedal it and downtrack it so that you can like kind of stay, you know, in the crew. Or you could be like, well, no, like I do like to do it and I don't think it's nasty. And you know, you still gonna drink after me because, yeah, and keep it real, you know what I'm saying? And not care. And like, that's kind of like the thing that we deal with all the time. It's like that thing where Harriet Tubman said, I would free more people if they would have knew they were slaves type thing. You know, I feel like we have that with our sexuality, you know, and I have experienced the most negativity from other women and from other women who, have this elitism about them because they are conservative. You know what I'm saying? They feel like they get some sort of notch or reward or badge because they are prude or whatever, right? When deep down, they want to, you know, let loose too, or they are doing it and they're lying about it, you know? So I remember I posted a picture with like a bathing suit. I was had on a one-piece bathing suit, but my legs are open to like the camera and stuff. And one of my friends, who was a guy posted it because it was a travel thing and I was in Guatemala. And you would have thought that these women knew me. Oh, you have a low self-esteem. You're looking for men's approval. And the men were coming to my defense. You know, they were like, well, I mean, she's doesn't look, you know, she's got on a one piece bathing suit and all this stuff. Cause I had a bathing suit that said power where the pussy was. right? And I mean, I do think that it's sad that we are hardest on our own kind, but hurt people hurt people, and we are the most oppressed group. You know what I'm saying? They give us this false narrative that successful Black women don't even have a sexual identity. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, I think other women feel like, well, how dare you even, you know, have the audacity to do that? You know, even me, when I first started the Pussy Party podcast, you know, I'm pro sex workers or whatever, right? But I used to kind of separate myself from like Instagram models. And I had to realize that, like, if I'm pro sex work, you know, what I'm doing and how I'm posting and all that stuff is no different, no better or no worse than like the girl who's an Instagram model with her, you know, booty in her, whatever. And it's just much of, you know, a woman and to be respected, you know, as I was, you know. So we all have to kind of like check ourselves a little bit.
But when you mentioned the sex work thing, right? So you remember Guy Code that came on, used to come on MTV. And there was an episode where the topic of sex work came up, and, you know, this is Guy Code, so there's a lot of guys talking about like, oh, prostitutes, you know, never, like, no, you know, you shouldn't do that. Like, definitely not a good idea. And like, I'm like, really, nigga? Like, come on. And you hear the girls, but the thing is, you hear the women, they'll be like, guys, never, ever pay for it. Like, all of them never pay for it. And I'm just like, I mean, some niggas gotta pay for it. You know, I mean, it's there for a reason. Right. Like,
somebody's paying for it.
But I just remember hearing it so, I knew why the guys were saying it. I understood why the guys were saying it. I couldn't understand why the women were saying it, though. I didn't get where that was coming from. But I think there's a lot of that shaming. Again, this is another example of where women are just out there like, no, like, this is not okay. Or they're sort of trying to create this standard.
Right. I mean, my thing is like, if you, as an individual, as a woman, if you enjoy your body and you enjoy other people enjoying your body, whether it's through physical interactions or through pictures or through videos, like what is the problem with it? Like, why does somebody care? Why does somebody else care if you're not hurting yourself or anyone else that you're enjoying your body and you may be getting paid for it?
Let me tell you something. You know why people care? This is my theory, okay? I'm going to bring it. I'm showing love to the fellas that are listening right now. The thing is that guys, and we talked about this in our male panel, have spent thousands of dollars trying to get pussy from non-sex workers. They could have spent $100 and got exactly what they were looking for immediately from a sex worker. And women who aren't sex workers don't want to lose that power. That is why. That is why you see that opposition, just to answer your question. That's my theory anyway.
Okay. You know, that is a great theory. And really, if we got over ourselves and worked together, we could dominate even more versus trying to, like, you know, have this hoe versus housewife thing. You can crack the code.
I think you've dealt with this some, Bomber, because like some of your vanilla friends know about us being in the lifestyle, but you don't regularly share with them like what we do or particularly anything that I do.
Well, yeah, no, I don't do that. Because I don't know what purpose it would have in those conversations, because guys are guys, and they're just going to be like, oh, shit, damn, your wife is doing what? Damn, I'd really like to experience that. I don't need that kind of pressure.
Deep down, they're going to be jealous.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to get away from the jealousy. And, you know, haters are dangerous, especially when they're your friends. So so that's one reason why I tend to avoid that kind of thing. I wanted to move on. So Jesse, the first time we met you was at Naughty in New Orleans.
Yes.
Naughty in New Orleans. And I think we were introduced to you by the Amours. I think that's who introduced us. Yes. And we also happen to see you on the panel on race and the lifestyle. And, you know, we were happy to meet you. We were happy to meet like our little collective of, you know, sex positive folks of color who are, right, you know, who are part of this thing. But I think I walked away from that with the assumption that you were a lifestyler. And the more I learned about you, I was like, wait, I don't think you're a swinger. And no, you're not at all. So is what brought you to Naughty and All? And were you just there for the education aspect of it, or?
Well, my thing is, I won't say that I'm not a swinger totally. I mean, I think I'm definitely more poly than swinging. And if I would have brought a different masculine, then I probably would have been a little bit more active in participating or what have you. But I just think that I haven't been in the environment to swing the way I want to. Like, I do have to have some sort of connection to have to really enjoy it. Like, I didn't, I mean, I was working more than I was having, you know, fun at Naughty. And I think maybe I let one person eat my pussy, like, for a little bit.
Wait, but were you in the group room?
No, I missed.
You never went to the group room at the, oh man.
Somebody's boyfriend or their partner, I had seen them when I was like crossing paths between the Temptation Hotel and the main hotel or whatever. But I didn't. I felt as if I didn't bring totally the right equipment with me to jump in there how I wanted to. you know, I brought more somebody who is more in the working aspect of supporting me and all that stuff, versus like I didn't bring like my BDE, my big dick energy, you know, part, which is oddly my former lover that's calling me now. You know what I'm saying? But anyways. I've never really been in a situation where me and my husband at the time met other couples that were about that life. You know what I'm saying? That even gave us that. So it was more always like, you know, unicorn hunting. And I love being hunted as a unicorn too, you know. But I don't know. I feel like it's something about me. You know, I don't get approached. I don't get hit on that much.
Because I remember when we got introduced, I was like, oh shit, she's bad. I was like, oh shit, am I gonna meet her? I'm like, oh, we're gonna meet her. Oh shit, okay. And then we met Jesse. And so with that in mind, there's actually a question we got on Instagram, and I wanted to present it on our episode today. That was from somebody that might have been striving to be a unicorn. I'm gonna ask the bell to read this one for us though.
All right. So the question goes, I'm not sure if this is in your area or not, but I don't think I've heard you guys talk much about unicorns. I'm a unicorn in the lifestyle, and I'm also pretty shy and introverted. I meet most couples online, but I like to be more social and approach couples I find attractive in social settings. I've been too afraid to attend parties or to go to lifestyle clubs alone, and I feel like I'm missing out on a lot of fun. Any tips on how to be more approachable or maybe more comfortable in social lifestyle settings?
Perfect timing. So I have absolutely no idea how to respond to this one. I don't think this question is for me.
Well, I mean, I'm not a unicorn, but I think for single women would have, in a lifestyle setting, not necessarily in a vanilla setting, but in a lifestyle setting, the easiest time talking to a couple meeting a couple.
A unicorn,
okay. Yeah. One, majority of couples are looking for unicorns. True. And if she can connect with the woman, usually, you know, connect with the woman first, you're in. Because 99.9% of the time, the dude is gonna fuck. Like, he's gonna be down to fuck.
I mean, that's true. But I mean, what I felt from this message is this idea of being alone. Like, you might be successful at the party, but you have to go to the party alone, and you may have to leave the party alone. And if you're not in that space where you're seeing someone you click with, you're at the party alone.
I mean, I think for that, you know, if you're meeting couples online, going to a party with a couple or going to a club with a couple is a great opportunity to meet them and not have to be stuck. Because what we, you know, we say, well, if you go on a date and you can tell in 5 minutes it's not clicking, like, you're stuck. Or if you go to a couple's house and it's not, you know, a situation, and I would say if it's a couple you don't know, don't go to their house by yourself, because that's just not safe. To me, it's not safe. You know, you're stuck. But if you say, hey, I really want to meet y'all, you know, let's go meet up at the club tonight, let's go meet up at this party, you can get a chance to interact with them. You still kind of have somewhat of a home base, but you still have the opportunity to meet other people and hook up with other people. The other option is to find a single male, because most of the time, single males can't get entry into events on their own. And so they're always looking for somebody that can get them in, get them into the spot to meet people. Now, they need to be a quality single male, and that's a whole other discussion about that. But that's another way to do that. And then I just like the introverted shy piece, just, you know, you have to be, yes, confident in your divine sexuality. You know, you're a wanted commodity. You know, most of the people in the place are going to want you. And so you have to own that. And that takes time. That's something that takes time, especially if you're not as sexually experienced and you're new to this. And you could also team up with another single female. So you all have
Yeah, that's another thing. Honestly, I would tell her you're not ready. You know, like, I know it seems like a little harsh, and maybe it's because, you know, I don't coddle or whatever, but like, if this is something that you want, right, and you know where to go and get it, there's a reason why. Like you said, I'm scared to be alone, or I'm scared to whatever. You know, what are your motives for even wanting to be a unicorn? Are you into just the male? Are you into just the female? Are you really into couples? Like, you really maybe need to dive back on, like, what it is that's holding you back. And if you have some kind of, like, confidence issues, then honestly, those kind of make the worst unicorns, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to have to be really self-sure to be in a three-way relationship. You know, you don't get to hide any of your, you know, blind spots or anything like that. Like, you're going to have to communicate. You're going to have to own up to your own shit. Like, I mean, we know how this goes, you know? So if you want to use the excuse that you're an introvert, you know, because I know introverts that are way more bold than me. Like, I'm an extrovert, right? So I will go and dance like crazy in a crowd full of people, but I won't sing karaoke. But I know introverts who will go on stage and sing karaoke by themselves, you know what I'm saying? But not have the best interactions, you know, in a group of people. And just because we have these titles doesn't mean that we cannot socially interact, you know what I'm saying, in the other setting. It's just self-confidence. And I mean, the biggest issue that I think we see in the lifestyle in poly and all those things is that I think sometimes we think that the lifestyle will help us fix some things, you know, that we have internally for ourselves, because we're reaching outside of the norm when it comes to relationship styles, when really it's only going to magnify it and expose it even more. So I'd say, wait until you're actually ready. Like, you know, are you really going to be a great unicorn if you can't go walk into a club and be pursued? Probably not.
I think that's real. That's definitely honest. And yeah, definitely you don't. So yeah, you do not go into the lifestyle to try to fix whatever sexual issue you may have, whether you're a single or a couple. Right. And even if you like have in your mind, you know, what your sexual identity is, being in those new sexual situations will bring up stuff that you hadn't even discovered.
Yeah, wait. Yep, definitely.
You're not aware of. Whether it's desires or things that you're just not okay with, you know?
Right, out of sexuality, just being a person, like,
right.
You know, self-image issues and, you know, stuff like that, self-love and all those kinds of things. So definitely. I mean, I would say the easiest thing, though, girl, is just bring one of your homegirls with you and, like, act like it's the regular club.
Second question we got. This is more, so somebody was asking, what we thought about women with Queen of Spades tattoos and that kind of thing. And so I guess...
What's Queen of Spades tattoo?
Queen of Spades is supposed to be... I mean, people have different ways of interpreting this, but it's supposed to basically be... Yeah. It's supposed to basically be a white woman who just likes BBCs or some shit like that.
Gotcha.
Right. So there's that. But I think there's just a general question about, you know, fetishization, I always pronounce that shit wrong, of the black body. And
so, you know, I am a black woman and I am very much have knowledge of self and where I come from and my history and all those things. Right. So we'll just put that as a thing. I understand that a lot of the issues that we have in life when it comes to racism, classism, and all that stuff, a lot of it is stemmed from a feeling some sort of inferiority to the black penis, you know, like in its strength and its originality and all those things, right? Because in truth, it isn't even about having a big black cock. It's really just about the black cock. Right. I remember when I went into the plus one room, because that's where the black people were, the black men, and these two white women who were, I mean, I'm no one to judge, but they were not my type. They were not, you know, I don't know anybody who would put they dick in them, you know what I'm saying, on a regular, you know, saw them at the grocery store. And they were kind of disappointed, I guess. I don't know if no one would engage with them or people had left or no one was available, but they were like, oh, we wanted to get chocolate Winston, right? And so I'm guessing that those are the kind of women that you're talking about.
Yeah.
See, for me, when I masturbate and I look at porn and stuff like that, that's why I don't really watch interracial porn, because they usually are getting into it and they put a color on the penis. Oh, give me that black dick, you know what I'm saying? And it totally turns me off. Because I know where that comes from. I know where that stems from, you know, and the Mandingo complex and all that stuff. And I mean, I think that sometimes we try to disguise our kind of fucked up ways of thinking, our racism, our classism, our sexism under preference or desire. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I don't think that there's anything wrong with loving black men. Black men need love on a higher level than, you know, most, right? Yeah. But
I'm glad you said that, because black men do need love. And to be honest, I like being desired for my blackness.
Right.
I like being desired for being a black male. What I don't like is being subjected to just being that thing for someone, just right. being like an object. But mm-hmm. if somebody's like, wow, I like him, and that black dick is a fucking bonus, I'm not mad at that. Like, the bell will get pissed off. Like, I don't really care.
Because it's a really fine line, yeah. for sure.
Fine line, and what they're doing is they're not desiring you for who you are as a person, for your right. shining personality. They're desiring you just because you're just your blackness. That's right. it. And just your blackness in this context. Because guaranteed, if they met you out in the vanilla world, they're not fucking with you. They're not yeah. letting you in their house. Mm-hmm. They walk into the other side of the street. Mm-hmm. Like, they're having nothing to do with you. And they're probably calling you a nigger behind your back.
Right. Which, or slip up and do it while you fucking them because they have sex brain.
Exactly.
Ooh, child.
And the fact that they are so emboldened to feel that they should tattoo themselves that I conquer black dick with a Queen of Spades tattoo is just repulsive to me.
Right, right. And how do you actually conquer black dick? Because if you get it how you want it, you're being conquered.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Black dick. I think that's the first time I've heard somebody describe it that way
before. What'd you say?
That's the first time I heard somebody call it that, the Queen of Spades thing, conquering black dick, which would not be a pleasant definition
for it.
But I
think that's what a lot of people walk around. But right. I don't know anybody with a Queen of Spades tattoo. So
right, and then it even gets into like the cuckold and all of that stuff. To me, that is a little bit more genuine because there is a submissive role of like the white husband. You know what I'm saying? To the black man, and it's understanding the strength and the dominance and the all those things there, and like being put in that like kind of humiliation role or whatever. To me, it's like restitutions for our ancestors. Right.
I still have issues with that situation too, though, just around the language. I think language is really important, and it's ingrained with some things that, like Crystal on the Rito, I said words mean things, and they really do, but people don't think about that. And so, like, within those situations, like, the black partner is called a buck, and when he comes, in the white female, he's breeding her. You'll see the comments where they only want to be bred by bucks, I'm being bred by my buck or whatever. And I just can't do the language.
Right. Beyond so I'm gonna confess something right now. And I think it's because I've just been drinking gin throughout this whole conversation.
So listen,
there's a particular kind of porn I just dabble in sometimes. Sometimes I just like jump in. I don't stay there too long, but
I see it.
So, but it's like it's comic book porn.
Okay.
Specifically interracial comic book porn. And the thing about comic porn is that it's just like regular comics. You get the message through imagery and dialogue. So words are particularly important in this comic. But every once in a while, when I'm looking at these porn images, they're stills. There's a lot of racism in these in these comics. And it's all about a black man dominating a racist woman. It like she's calling him a nigger, or he's like pressuring her, like, you want to say it, just say that shit, say it right now. And he's piping her out. Again, you're talking about language here. But there's a reason why it's there. I'm not sure. And the question you have to ask is, who's getting pleasured here? Is it like are black men looking at this and saying, wow, this is really sexy? If they are they wrong for that?
I think the narrative, I have this thing that I say, the best way out is through, what I'm saying? And so that's why I really understand kinks and like how they can be judged and be really weird, but it's a form of healing, And not to say that, the bucks and breeding and all that stuff is healing, but also to not say it isn't. But for you as a black man to be able to have a porn that you can watch where porn is really for males and for white males, it's really more like the standard of who it's made for. And for you to have a place to go to where you get to connect sexual desire and satisfaction to the opposite of the narrative that's been pushed to you your whole life, I mean, I can see how you can get some enjoyment out of it from a non-judgmental place. Now, is it fucked up? Yeah, but it's fucked up that it's reality.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly. Thank you for saying that, because I think that's my whole point. It's like it's reality, and like it's just like, some of the things that you like when I was reading your About Me page, I don't even think it was that. I can't remember where you were talking about it, but you were talking about like just like when you're in the bedroom, like some people have a fetish with like, having a guy pretend like he's their daddy or something like that.
Right, or rape sex or stuff like that.
It's really sick. Like when you think about it narratively, it's like if you explain it to somebody, like just the words that we use to describe it are really disturbing, but it's still sexy to some people. And it's like, and I feel like that kind of language around race falls into that zone of like
you know, it's unfortunate that this was a part of our history and civilization, and it's sexy in some way because of the way we've, you know, conceptualized it in our minds. But should we feel bad about that, given that it's part of our reality? You know, it's not something we're going to answer on this podcast, but I constantly challenge the bell as well as our listeners to think about that.
I still don't like it.
Yes, of course you don't.
Right. I think it's meant to say I like it or I don't, but I think that we have to get past a place of judgment. Like, we have to kind of we have to let it go so that we can grow, you know? And even to the girls that are saying, oh, give me that nigga dick and all that stuff, like, you know, and it's crazy, especially for somebody like me that's extremely, you know, pro-Black. And, you know, for me, you know, I didn't go into all those rooms because I don't want to have sex with white men, because I love Black dick, you know what I'm saying? And I know what Black love does, you know, and bigger than just sexual desire, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So with me being like that, I have to, like, kind of let it go and allow other people to live in their their place, and even as how fucked up it is. But, you know, once you step into my world with it, then you have to deal with me.
And let me just say that I don't want to make it seem like some of us are sitting on a soapbox here, and some of us are more righteous than others. And I want to say that I was talking. I remember in my mid-20s, I think I was dating a woman who was dating a white guy. And I remember her saying something about something he said in bed about her being Black. And I remember a viscerally, like, angry feeling I had inside at hearing like the idea that a white man is like this, like, let me smack this black ass is mine, you know, nigger bitch. Like, if you told me you liked that shit, I would judge you. Like, I would, and I know that that would be wrong, but I would. So I understand. I understand. Sometimes it can be very difficult not to judge some shit just because of the history, the relationship we have.
Right. But that's in your direct life, so you have a right to accept or not accept. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, this crazy world that we live in.
But no, Jesse, we really appreciate you sitting down and chatting with us through all this. You know, this is some great material. I'm sure our listeners would have got something for it. But do you have anything coming up that you want to let our listeners know? Any other information around where to find you?
I'm supposed to be teaching a webinar with Exotica TV soon. I think it's going to be on the 22nd. So I don't know if this will be out by then, but I'll be teaching about sex, love, and herbs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just check me out on Instagram at Pussy Party Podcast, and, you know, hit me up. You know, I'm really approachable, and, you know, if you want to get a reading and see what's going on in your life, you know, before we're all relinquished back into the normal world, you know, give me a holler.
But yeah, we really appreciate it. We hope you and your loved ones are doing okay during this crazy ass time. And we want to also thank our listeners for tuning in. I just want to also remind our listeners, check out our Patreon on our website at www.blackandkinkylifestyle.com. You can also email us at blackandkinkylifestyle@gmail.com with any of your questions. Hit us up on Instagram, hit us up on Twitter. You can also find us on the Amore Getaways membership page. That's also accessible by our website. If you want the chance to get a free 3-month membership with Amore Getaways membership page, you can leave us a rating on iTunes or wherever you hear your podcast, and you'll be entered into a chance to get a free membership there. And if you just can't wait, you can always sign up and get 25% off using the offer code Black and Kinky. Yeah, that's all we got for you today. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you from the Bell and the Bomber signing off.
All right, bye. Black and Kinky, Black and Kinky. Black and Kinky Lifestyle.